Welcome to the official podcast of the International Food Blogger Conference. This is session 4 from Saturday, May 16th, 2009. The panel, Building a Better Blog Part 2, SEO, Traffic, Monetization, featured speakers Barnaby Dorfman, CEO of Foodista, Ryan Stern, Director and Managing Editor for FoodBuzz, and Elise Bauer of Simply Recipes.
I think this segment coming up, from what I understand, is going to be a good kind of set of tools to get your word out, to get your message out. I've had several ventures in my life where I had a great idea, a great website, and just nobody visited. It was very difficult to get traffic. That's actually one of the most intriguing parts of this whole entire couple days that I'm going to be here. What type of promotion can you do? Is it getting write-ups, getting some type of public relations involved, some PR on getting yourself written up in different forums? And there's so many ways. For me, it really is kind of a gray area that I'm trying to define, trying to find some contrast in and really get some direction. So hopefully this next session will do it for us. We'll know a little bit more.
I want to talk a little bit about sort of understanding the links for your blog and understanding how you can improve the amount of links that you're getting inbound and improving your traffic. The first step is really to understand your own traffic. And so my guess is that most people here are using a blog platform like WordPress or Blogger. You know, most of those platforms have pretty good metrics packages. Are you all familiar with PageRank? The more people who link to you, the more valuable you are, the more relevant you are generally. But all links are not created equal, so it depends on who's linking to you. That's another element of how PageRank works. Google Analytics, how many people here use Google Analytics? I'm just curious. It's really easy, it's free. You can put some code on your site and it starts tracking and you can get all kinds of information. And again, understanding your links is one of the key things to building traffic and improving your situation. So when you do a search for something, how does Google decide what to show you? That's kind of the big question. We all sort of assume that they're showing us the most relevant thing, and that's really subjective. What's relevant? I think most people would agree, if you do a search for Foodista, and that's what this is, a screen capture of a Foodista search, our website comes up first. We're happy about that, and we think that that's the most relevant thing to have come up. It gets gray as you go into a recipe, say apple pie. Well, there are literally millions of pages that refer to apple pie. Who gets to this, you know, why does one come up at the top and the other 264 pages down? So there's some basic computer science stuff that computers use to figure out that one page tells you more about something than another. And that's the starting place for Google, and that's been around since like the 1960s, actually. So PageRank was kind of the big Google innovation. Larry and Sergey at Stanford, they came up with this idea of kind of this social concept of links and paying attention to who's linking to who. Another element is that Google pays a lot of attention to, you know, is your site kind of spammy? So how do I get links? Well, that is the $20 million question. There is no magic bullet. There is no quick, easy answer. If you're on a site and they're like, submit your site, you know, pay attention. Look at their Alexa rank. Look at who they are. And don't automatically ask, you know, everybody to link to you, because not all links are created equal. So if you go to Wikipedia and you create a link from Wikipedia to your website, you may get some traffic out of it, but it will not help your Google page rank. The reason is all the Wikipedia external links are nofollow links, which means Google ignores them. They will not look at that and say, oh, even though Wikipedia is a top, you know, 5 website, and there's a link from, you know, the page on Apple Pie, my blog, it's not going to help you in terms of building your page rank and building traffic and rankings within the Google world. One of the things that Google has changed in their algorithm in the last couple of years is the importance they put on age. The older something is, the better it is as far as Google is concerned. Frequency of updates and having seen a site over time that's being updated frequently is really important to them. And so it's just an argument for blogging a lot and getting content out there. And that gets to this next point, which is quantity. And I think, you know, lots of people have lots of opinions about how often you should blog and whether it's good to blog a lot or not blog a lot. Independent of the editorial decisions and the kind of social elements of that, from a pure sort of Google algorithm perspective, the more you have on your site, the more likely you are to come up with a search. So if you have 1,000 pages on your site, you're going to be more likely than if you've got 100. If you've got 10,000, you're going to do better than if you have, you know, less. Foodista is a cooking encyclopedia that anybody can edit. And as I said, I think this morning, we've organized things into 4 different categories: foods, tools, and techniques. We believe, and this is something that, you know, we're still trying to figure out, to be honest, and trying, you know, and working on, that there's this notion of a dish, and a dish is a culturally shared idea of a recipe. So if I stop 100 people out on the street and say, what's in an apple pie? I get a pretty good agreement. It's the reason we can order off of menus. We know what pizza is. And part of what we're trying to get at is having pages that are concentrate all the ideas around concepts like apple pie. It's not to say there can't be James apple pie and all these other variations on that. But what we see often on the web is if I do a search on Google for apple pie, I literally get millions of pages. And so some of it's about concentrating. That's Foodista, and that's a way of getting links from Foodista. And it's a little bit about links and the currency of links. And I wanted to shift from there to Foodbuzz.
Thank you very much. That was great. One of the questions that I get a lot is, how do I make money on my blog? And when can I make enough money so that I can get my the large majority of us, our sites aren't quite that critical mass of volume and traffic to really earn a substantial, income monthly blogging. That said, there are some ways to monetize a little bit. What it really comes down to is, the traffic, how big your site is really critical in how much your revenue potential is going to be from an advertising perspective. When we kind of looked at Foodbuzz as a way to provide a monetization solution, we looked at some of the other alternatives out there. You guys are probably familiar with most of them. So there's Google AdSense, which is really easy to implement. It just plays, it's pay-per-click. There's traditional ad networks. So these would be sort of like Rural Nation, ClickSee, Tribal Fusion, where they're really just placing inventory on your site. A lot of times it's remnant inventory, they're looking for volume. You're not going to see as much of like the national brand quality advertisers running through these traditional ad networks. You're going to see different publisher networks out there. So like I said, Foodbuzz, there's also Glam, Blogger, North of Circle. There's a few different publisher-focused advertising partners that you can work with. Our traffic is really going to be so instrumental in the type of revenue you're going to make. We realized quickly when we started forming the Foodbuzz publisher program, which some of you are very familiar with. What we really set out to do was create a community of food bloggers where we could really not just bring everyone together, but create a community that's based around food bloggers that are passionate in sharing their food and dining experiences. They're dedicated to creating content online. One of the most powerful things that happened when I started at Foodbuzz, I actually was a food blogger myself when I hooked up with Foodbuzz 2 years ago, and we continued to discover blog after blog, and we were just blown away by the amount of quality content that was out there, and it was just incredible. So we really wanted to both work with food bloggers, but then also create a site that would be a platform for distribution and exposure of this great content for everyone, looking for food and information. So that didn't really exist, and so we started out by working with a few publishers to create a way to aggregate and kind of curate that content and push that back out to the rest of the world to enjoy. So it was very hard to find a lot of our content online. What we decided to put together and what we offer our future publishers are, better advertising solutions. We really focus on food and dining relevant advertisers. We believe that, if your traffic's going to be to a level where you're not really going to see a huge difference in the amount of money you're going to be making each month, then we can bring a little bit of value beyond the money in the types of advertising that you're placing on your site. Is it relevant to your readership? Is it, adding to any value with your reader in terms of the type of advertisers you're displaying? We also offer we offer better online exposure for some of the smaller blogs. Increased traffic driving and stronger community resources. It's really just kind of cross-promoting and hoping that we can add some value through our community activity to your content so that it has a better visibility within Foodbuzz as well.
I started some of the recipes around 6 years ago. I get asked to talk about this subject a lot because the site's actually grown pretty big. It gets probably about 100,000 people a day. The site, over 5 million page views. But it's actually been really slow. It's actually just grown over time. You were talking about age being important for Google. Yeah, it is. It's actually, the longer that you're at something, the longer that you have a page that's up, the more weight it gets. People are always asking me, I've got a new blog, how do I build traffic? And it's three pillars: content, community, and technology. And they're all really important. If you don't have great, compelling content, then SEO is not going to help you that much. Content should be useful, entertaining, and timely. For me, my site is, for me, it's an expression of love for my family. My vision is cooking with my mom and cooking with my dad. That's the fuel in here. All I'm trying to do is to come up with something that's going to be useful for other people. And where I get my entertainment part is I really focus a lot on the pictures. Food is timely, it's seasonal, and the more you can focus on seasonal ingredients, the better. Community is important for lots of reasons. If you are generous with linking out to other people and other bloggers, they will notice that eventually. They may not notice it initially, but they will notice that. And when I link out to people, people do notice that. I really get inspiration from the community of food bloggers that I check in with all the time through Twitter or, you know, through just reading everyone's blogs. And I think the most important thing I think about community is come from a spirit of generosity to really reach out. And there's so many things that are important to that. You know, SEO, the most important thing is pick your title as well. So whatever your title and your post, make it be something that someone would be searching for if they wanted to find that post. The reason I have so many feed readers, I think, is, again, I got in really early, and I set up my feed. I do a partial feed. Site design, I really focus a lot on making that thing as easy to navigate as possible. And then your platform choice is important, too. WordPress is a great platform. I use Google Type. It's a lot like the X. It was actually done before WordPress. I can pretty much do everything that I can, and I host it myself. If you are serious about traffic, if you're really serious about it, I think you need to get off of Blogger. And that's my, I get beat up for that one because I do know people, I've got really good friends who are on Blogger and get a lot of traffic, but they're limited by what Blogger can do.
Panelists Elise Bauer and Ryan Stern spoke with us after the panel to give further advice on building a better blog.
Once you start your blog, you're really excited and you want your readership to grow and you are putting so much time and energy to it, and then you realize that, you know, you're only making $5 a month. And so I think setting realistic expectations for your own growth is really important, and one of kind of the myths we have to bust when we first, you know, start working with food bloggers is it really takes time and dedicated resources to grow this, and you have to put yourself out there in the community and really, you know, take advantage of the information and knowledge that's out there of other bloggers who have, you know, done this before. And
food blogging, and actually blogging in general, is it's really not about little islands where you get to just sit on your own soapbox. I mean, sometimes it might look like that, but the power of it is in engagement, engaging in others who care about the same things that you care about.
This is a Porter Novelli production. Be sure to check back for the next IFBC Session podcast.